And Jesus said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you it is given. So then it is given unto you as children of light. I believe Brother Cartridge named that message this morning, the children of light. Is given unto you as children of light to know this wonderful mystery. And it is this great mystery that will be revealed to you measure by measure from glory to glory to transformate your mind that you might suddenly awake in the wonderful world of God with the mind of Christ and realize that this glory as to the potentiality of His power is to be released into your outer being to change it into that glorified creature that the Bible speaks of where Jesus Himself stood on the mountain and glistened like the noonday sun. All right, so if I say something tonight that perhaps you don't understand or it doesn't fit just exactly right, don't get all upset and don't get disturbed and don't let it get complicated in your mind. Just give the more and heed to the things you've heard. Don't let it slip. And take heed how that you hear it, that you don't conglomerate it with the things of the world and trying to mix darkness with light. Listen very carefully and take these things in as we try to detail them and to position them just like a person putting together a puzzle. I think my wife is about, well, she may not be the world's best, but she's not the world's best. She's one of the world's best when it comes to putting together a puzzle. She takes a great big old puzzle and just a little while she's put everything together. I'd be so frustrated I wouldn't hardly know where to start on one of them. Sometimes I go by and I think, now I'll just pick up a piece and I'll put it in place and I look and I fit and I finally just throw it down and leave. But she just puts it together. And that's the way it is with the mistress of God. I've often thought that maybe God has given her that great ability to put puzzles together and form such beautiful pictures to represent what He hath called me to do in the heart of mankind is putting this thing together, you know, in the heart of mankind to form this wonderful picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and of these wonderful places and scenes of glory that He hath revealing unto us by His Spirit. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man at any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But the Bible says He hath revealed these unto us by His Spirit. So then, seeing that ye are children of light, that day as to the coming of the Lord, which seems to be nigh at hand, it will not come upon you unawares. As a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth, throughout the world, all over the world. It'll come upon them as a snare, because the Bible said they'll not see when good comes, and that the eyes of their understanding is blinded. They'll go on in the world doing all the things of the world, having a good time, as they call it, in the world, and gaining more momentum as to monetary values in the world, but losing out with God all the time. And they won't see. They won't know that it's near. They won't understand. It'll be the same today as it was yesterday, and tomorrow will be the same as today. But with you and I, we know that it's nigh even at the door. The Bible said we'll know when it's nigh even at the door. And so often I say this, that's as close as it can get without coming in. Just turn the knob and walk in. So folks, I can tell you that it's nigh right now, even at the door. Jesus said, I stand at the heart's door and I knock. And he that will open unto me, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. So then, we come to the scriptures again tonight to say some things that might be sometimes a little offensive to you, or you might not understand. But don't get offended. Don't go away and say something. Don't lose your soul. Don't say things that will bring the wrath of God upon you. Don't be foolish. Just listen. Settle down. If you don't understand it, don't bother with it. Don't accuse. Don't say things against the righteous and have God destroy you. Remember, God made you. Whether you're without or whether you're within, as to the church, God made you, and you are God's, and God is the only breath of life. And when you began to come against the saints of God, the Bible said you do it to the least of these, you do it as unto God. And the first news you know, you got problems in your home, you got heartaches in your home, all kind of things begin to happen to you and your little family, and wrecks and heartaches and sorrows and sicknesses and poverties and insanity, all kind of things begin to happen to you. See, so don't do that. Just, you know, go your way. If you don't understand it, just go your way anyway and forget about it, and or either pray and ask God to reveal it to you. And He will. The Bible said, in receiving the infilling of the Spirit of Christ as to the Holy Ghost, He will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've taught you. He'll break them down to you and He'll make them known to you. Many people was offended at Jesus. But those that were not offended received great, wonderful treasures. Now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. Even this heavenly treasure that's in your earthen vessel has to come into the knowledge of this wonderful word that spoke the world into existence. Jesus said, if thou canst believe in thine heart and not doubt, that you can say whatever you will and you can have it. I've said many things in my lifetime. I spoke by faith. And I said, and it will be thus and thus and thus it was. Because God made it to be that way. If you can say it and don't doubt, it'll happen exactly the way that you say it. If I say some things you don't understand, just pray for me. We're glad to have you here tonight. I believe that Dale and his wife Vicky came tonight. Dale Cartridge, I believe they're here tonight. They are. I always said raise their hand. His lights are kind of blinded. Yeah, I see them right here. We're certainly glad to have them in service with us. And I believe Steve was supposed to be here, was he? Yeah, I see them back here on the back row. Is his wife also with him? Is your wife with you, Steve? No, she isn't. Okay. We're certainly glad to have Steve with us. And maybe one of these nights, he and his wife will be back together here in church. We're thankful. If I overlook you, it isn't because I want to. I just, like I say, things is kind of blinded and I cannot tell. I believe somebody's here with Brother Eugene. Is this? Who? Oh, yeah, Hogan. Isn't he the gentleman that was here this morning? John? John was certainly had. Glad to have you here tonight. If there's somebody else here, we should let me know it, because like I say, I can't tell too much back there. But anyway, let's give these folks a hand. Can we do that? All right, it's a real pleasure to have you here at Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul. We're interested in world evangelism. We're interested in feeding the hungry, the widows, the orphans, and helping people around the world. And of course, our telecast goes all the way across the nation from California to Florida and goes into the islands and goes down into Central America and all around, over into Hawaii. And our radio broadcasts, they go all over the different parts of the nation and always reaching out around the different parts of the world. Our literature goes into all the world as a witness, and we try to travel around in any way that we can, telling the story of Jesus, whether it's under the tent, whether it's an auditorium, whether it's a church, whether it's out in the field, it's just an open-air crusade, whether we have a one or whether we have a thousand, you know. We just go right on telling the wonderful, wonderful story of Jesus and how wonderful it is to be a Christian, to bring peace. The Bible said, and the peacemakers shall be called the children of God. And all the paths of God are peace. To pray for your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you. And to be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. All right, can we read just a little bit? Now, I don't know just which direction we'll go. I have some things on my heart I'd like to talk about, but it depends on your hunger. And it depends on your thirst. Jesus said that we should hunger and thirst after righteousness, and then if we do, we'll be filled. So if you pull on the heartstrings of God, then the Bible says you draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy and do your wells of salvation, and I'm a well of salvation, and he said out of our innermost beings shall flow rivers of living water. So then if you'd like to have some of this water of life that's flowing out of the throne of God, which throne is within my heart and the kingdom of God within my heart and this beautiful river of life that's coming out. If you'd like to have a drink from it, all you got to do is just dip down and get it. Reading from the book of St. John chapter 14, it says in the first verse, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you'd have known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, and doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, Go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, ye may believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I have not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I have not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. That's reading quite a bit tonight. I don't always read that much. Sometimes I read quite a bit of scripture. But I was reading this tonight that I might share with you a little bit of some of the thoughts of Jesus. That's Jesus speaking directly to you and I. The Bible said, what I say to one, I say to all. Now I spoke this morning concerning the children of light, how that God has brought us out of the kingdom of darkness and transformated our minds as to a translation into the wonderful kingdom of light. That we are not children of darkness. And I spoke to you of the difference between them that are without, that's not the church, and them that are within, that are the church. And how that ye have something within you that is transforming your mind. I spoke to you concerning the kingdom of God, how that people are looking for the kingdom of God, how they're ever watching for the kingdom of God, and they'll never see it. See, they'll never see it, because the Bible said they cannot see when good cometh. So then they will never see it. The eyes of their understanding being darkened by their carnal mind of reasoning, then they cannot comprehend this great, wonderful light. As the Bible said, and this light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Tonight, the light is shining. The light is shining around the world. Around the world, the light is shining. Here the light is shining at Little Bethlehem, and many of you that here are see. As we speak here, you'll never comprehend the light. You'll hear my words, you'll hear my voice, but you'll never comprehend the light. Because it is a world of darkness with you, and you love darkness rather than light. The Bible said this is the condemnation that has come upon the world. They want to go to heaven, they want God, they want all the blessings of God, they want life, but they don't want to live right. They don't want to forsake the evil, contrary ways of life that's in the world. They don't want to come out from the world and be a separate people. They still have that gullible desire as to the passions of the body, as to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, and the desire for preeminence and the monetary values of the world and the things of this world. Because of this, they find themselves in a wilderness as to a complex and a situation that they cannot cope with. So then we see that we are not children of darkness, but we are children of light, and the kingdom of God is here. Now, someone would say, well, I'm waiting for the kingdom of God. So did the Jews. They waited for the kingdom of God, but when the kingdom of God came, they never did see the kingdom of God. They never did get a hold of the kingdom of God. They never did understand the kingdom of God, because in their natural reasoning, taking the laws of Moses and perverting the ways of God as to the laws of Moses, they came into a realm of darkness to where the light could not show. So when the light came, and that Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. When the light came, when he stepped out of glory and stood in the presence of Nicodemus, one of the great leaders, as I said this morning, then as he stood within the presence of Nicodemus, there Nicodemus could not see the light. He could not see the light. Jesus said, "Art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not the things that I say unto you?" He said, "You must be born again, Nicodemus. You must be born again." He said, "You cannot even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again." How are the religious groups of the world going to wait for the kingdom of God? How they're going to do that? See, they can't do that because the kingdom of God isn't coming to them. They're never going to see the kingdom of God. They'll never be able to see the kingdom of God. There's no way that they can see the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because they do not have eyes to see. Having eyes is to natural eyes. They see natural things. But they do not have spiritual eyes. They do not have spiritual ears, and they never at any time see the wonderful move of God or the things of God that God is trying to do. So then we find that they do not see the kingdom of God, but ye are children of light. Jesus said, "I do always the things that I see my Father do." Do you ever see the Father do anything? If you don't, then that means that you're blind. See, I said earlier today that Paul, on the way to Damascus, this great light appeared unto him. When the light came, did Paul see? Did he understand? It only showed up his blindness. Though he was great and mighty as an intellectual, had studied at the feet of Gamaliel, knew all about the Old Testament. But when the light shined as to the Spirit, as to the unveiling, as to the revelation, Paul went blind. He suddenly realized that with all of his great ability as to a scholar, that he knew nothing. And that's the way it is with the world today. Hundreds and thousands of scholars around the world. I meet them all the time. They're as blind as they can be. They're great and they're mighty. I know some that can quote passage after passage of the Bible. They've read this Bible. They've studied this Bible. They spent years in college and they don't know anything. They're just as blind as they can be. So then, unless you have had the scales move from your eyes, it doesn't matter how religious you are, you're still just as blind as you can be. So it takes the unveiling by the Spirit of God. And this is the beautiful thing of it. You cannot unveil anything of yourself. Doesn't matter how much you study, how much you go to college, whatever you learn, you can't do it. You've got to come into the presence of God, and then when the Spirit of Christ comes into your heart, then the veil dissipates and the light begins to show and you see these heavenly things. So then that's why Paul, having received the revelation, the scales being moved from his eyes, he said, "And this veil that was over the face of Moses remains over the face of the people, of the eyes of the people, untaken away even until my day," as Paul said, and I can say even as until my day. He said, "Which veil is taken away or done away with in Christ." Remember when Rebekah came across that desert? Once she got near Isaac, the veil come down over her face. Because in that day, women had to wear a veil because they had to appear shamefaced before the man, because the man was not found in the transgression, but the woman was found in the transgression. So then the veil was over the woman. She had been taken from the side of man, and she was part of man and was in the original creation as within the man. But when she was separated from the man by listening to the mind of Lucifer working through the beast, then this veil was a separation between the male and the female. And that veil remained as to show that there is a veil of human reasoning as to the satanic mind of death that is between Christ, the great Holy Spirit, and the body of humanity, which is the church. So then this veil is between them. And when Rebekah got near Isaac, this veil come down over her face, and this veil could not be moved until the marriage. And when she was taken into the secret chambers. See, God is taking us into the secret chambers of our mother. And what is the secret chambers of these? The Bible said, "He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High." And so then, what is this? He takes us beneath the shadows. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadows of this death, I shall fear no evil. And I say again, God, the great spirit, looking down from glory, he looks down upon you, and he sees between you and him the clouds. As the clouds between the sun and the earth, so is this great veil between the spirit and the body. And this veil is the veil of shame, to make a shame face, to make us realize that we've sinned against God. For the Bible teaches that the law came not to justify anyone, for no one can be made perfect by the law, but it came to bring to our remembrance sin, that it might be the law of sin and death, to make us to realize our need for the Savior, or to show us these evil things that have overcome our life, and to show us this great veil of death that has covered us and separated us from life itself, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we see this veil is still there. But the Bible says at Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. All of a sudden, the last drummer has come. This great, wonderful drummer of life has come. And Christ is the preeminence as the superstar of this great, wonderful thing of God, the great, true, and only superstar. And so then he is the great star, we say, and the day star that shall dawn in our heart, bringing us light, or revealing from within us to our inner man, and by means of that into this outer man, this great, wonderful, revelational mystery, as to bring this light that all of the shadows might dissipate, and there the great, wonderful image as to the originality shall be shown. That is to say, God having made man in his own image, which image was lost when man fell from the garden. So then the veil is rent in twain. And I say to you again, when we say the veil is rent in twain, thus the curtains have opened on the last great act of God. Now we say, and since Calvary this has happened. So then what had happened when the veil was rent in twain? What took place? I say one more time to you that the Bible says he made in himself twain. That is, he made in himself too, both Lord and Christ. And the Bible teaches that the rending of the veil, it was the separation of the spirit from the body. He rent the veil in twain. He separated the Christ from the Lord. He rent this veil, and the Bible said, that is to say, in his own flesh, he made a new way and brought to light the true light and a more sure word of prophecy, and to say the word of spirit and of life. So then we realize that the veil is rent in twain. And I say, for what purpose is that to the church? That now your spirit hath been separated from your body. And the body of this death, as to that which is the accused, that is to say the infiltration within your body, that is the accused, and it's called the body of this death. And now that body's been rent from the spirit, and at death the spirit went back to God who gave it. And the Bible said, you're no longer in this world. I've chosen you out of this world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the change of your body into that bodily image of Christ Jesus at the sounding of the last trumpet. Thessalonians change, or that is, I've hid you with Christ in God until the day of the restoration, which is the coming millennium, which seems to be close at hand right now, when all things shall be restored as to the species that's been lost of God's creative act. So we see here that the spirit is now free. It's gone back to God. I spoke of it this morning as the little butterfly going through the stages of the metamorphosis, going out of the cocoon into the wonderful heavenlies. So then your body is now dead. If you've been born again, the first thing you did before your birth was you went to Calvary. When you went to Calvary, then the death of that body came into view. For the Bible said we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto the world and unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that, the spirit went back to God who gave it. So then the body of death, it's now gone. It's on the other side of Calvary. It was under the law. The law of sin and death condemned it. Now it's dead. Now it's gone. That out of you is no more. And the Bible said we should mortify the deeds of the body. Withdraw from that body. Crucify that body. Do away with that body. And yet we don't hurt the body at all, because the body is the Lord's. It's the temple of God. But that is to say, just as you go to the hospital, they give you the shot, you go into the twilight sleep, and then the knife comes in to cut out the defective part. Then you're sewn up. And then on the other side of that sleep, you come out a new creature. Jesus, delivered for our offenses, went into the sleep, raised again for our justification, and as Joseph said, at the right hand of Pharaoh, that is to say, God at the right hand, there he is now, God at the right hand of the great eternal spirit. He is the bodily part. He is the only means of relation to you as to the great light of the Holy Spirit, as to Christ Jesus, his righteousness or his body. His holy body is the Lamb of God, the only thing between you and God and the only hope of your salvation as to his righteousness. So then we see that our spirit, it's hid with Christ's spirit in God, whom the heavens have received. And so then, delivered for our offenses as Jesus, raised again for our justification as Christ. And today we're dead, buried, gone, so far as God looking at this bastard child image of your first birth. So then, if that bastard child image is now dead, then that means there can be a new birth, as he said to Nicodemus, to be born again. And this was the thing I was speaking to you about this morning, as to differentiating between the sons of God, the daughters of God, and those that are without, as children of intellectual blindness. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And the Bible said the whore is the great ditch, as to say the flesh that's withdrawn from the name of Jesus or refuses to have relation with God, as to this wonderful submission to become the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then I laid down my body in death. It's buried in baptism in the lovely name of Jesus. And now Paul the Apostle said, it's not me living, but it's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live is not the temporal life that I lost through sin, but it's the eternal life, which is Christ's life given to me that I might live forever. And this is why we preach as we do. The Bible said, seeking to save your life as to this body you lose it. But if you lose this life as to give up this life in this world for Christ, then you gain life eternal, and that by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is an eternal body. Having been baptized into Christ, the Bible said, we put on Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said, to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust or the desire thereof. For you're now born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You're now members in particular of the great body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I clearly expressed in the message this morning. Well, that is to say, it is not you living now, but Christ. Let us walk circumspectly. Let's come out from the world. Let's leave off with the world. We've got another world. We've left Egypt. We're heading for Canaan. But the Bible said that God, though he brought many of them out of Egypt, yet they turned back into Egypt in their heart. And with many of them, God was not well pleased, and he cut them off in the wilderness. And that's the way it is in the church. Many of them have come out. Hundreds and millions have come out of the world, and they become churchy, and they join some kind of religious society. But with many of them, God isn't well pleased, because in their heart, they're still in the world. In their heart, they still want the things of the world. In their heart, they're still going after the gullible desires of the world. See, they're not born again. To be born again, you must be born to the Spirit. The inner angelic you must be surrendered to Christ's Spirit, that Christ's Spirit can become interwoven in your spirit, as I say so often, like putting the safeguard in the garment to keep the spots out. And he that is born of God is to the spiritual man on the inside, keepeth himself, and the evil one, Lucifer, toucheth him not. He is without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And he overcometh, for the Bible said, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. So Christ within you always overcome. And Paul said, thank God who always giveth us the victory, even this, your faith, the victory that overcometh the world, or my confidence in what he did for me, or as he is, so am I in him in this world. That is to say, I am what God wanted me to be, in that he made me to be that through Christ Jesus, which lived that life for me and accredited it to me. Delivered from my offenses as to be bruised, raised again for my justification as to the praise of God, and sin coming by one man, Adam. Now sin is gone and death is gone by one man, Christ Jesus, and we're free. Free from the law of sin and death. Having faith in God, God purifying our hearts by faith through believing in the righteousness of Jesus, as to say that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sin, that through him we might be saved. we might be saved by believing in what he did for us. All right, let me say this as we go on here just for a few minutes, and we're going to try to close. Now, look back at the Old Testament. I look at them that are under the law. Not one of them could be made perfect. Though they were holy men, they were not Christians. They were holy men like Elijah, and the Bible speaks of the holy apostles and the holy prophets. But back there, see, it was not Christianity. That is, it was Christ-like, but not as to the extent that Christ had entered into their heart as to dwell with them, because though Christ was with them, he was not in them, and that the Spirit of Christ had not yet been given, as to say that the gift of the Holy Ghost was not as of yet, because Christ had not yet died for sin. And so then, because of that, not one of them could be made perfect, not even Elijah, not even Abraham, the father of the faithful. They could not be made perfect without us. All of them died under the law, confessing that they were pilgrims and strangers, and they were walking by faith as to the faith of Father Abraham, and that God had promised that through Isaac, that is to say a type of Jesus, through Christ Jesus, all the world would be blessed. And so then come the day as to Christ and his coming. Then come the day as to the crucifixion. Then come that which is perfect, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Then come the creation of God, as to say the first of them that was resurrected from the dead, or the first of them that slept. Or that is to say, the beginning of the creation of God is to the first of the brethren. Then they came, that is to say, after Calvary, even the Lord Jesus, his resurrection, the perfect one. And when that which is perfect has come, then that which is old and imperfect is folded up and laid away. So then we're not under the law. That's why Paul said, "I therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." So then by the grace of God through faith are you justified. That's not of works of yourself, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. Sanctified by the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and perfected forever by the love of God, because we are sanctified of him. For God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Sanctify them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. So we see that under the law, nothing could be made perfect. They without us could not be made perfect. So they slept, they rested, as God said to Daniel, "Thou shalt rest in thy lot." And then came the day of the resurrection, and then Jesus came on the scene. So then we find out today that we are children of the resurrection. We're on this side of Calvary. And the body is dead and it's gone, and our spirit gone back to Christ who gave it. And we have experienced the resurrection, in that Christ is the resurrection living on the inside of us. And we're going to with the redemption of our body when this great Thessalonian change takes place, and with this great glory inwardly being made manifest into the outer man. We're looking forward to that change. And yet, why worry about the body? The body profiteth nothing. It's buried, it's gone. You're now a spiritual being, no longer as the living soul, but as the second man Adam that was made a quickening spirit. And he that is born of spirit is spirit. So then we're spiritual beings, and we're alive. We're alive forever. That's why I so boldly made the statements I did today concerning that ye are the children of light. Ye are not children of darkness, as to intellectual frustration and confusion, caught into these things, as to the anxieties of the world, but ye are free from the bond's mind of the bond's child, as to the beggarly elements that perish and that will be burned up at the coming of the Lord Jesus. And ye have the mind of Christ, as to another world, another desire, and you're looking toward heavenly things, filling your heart with the treasures of spiritual things. As Paul said, "I would that he was spiritual." And in that we are now the quickening spirits by new birth, then we've been born again as to the spirit of the inner man into Christ. When we think of these things, then we remember that by divine conception that Mary conceived of divinity. And in this, a new blood cell was created. And the blood cell that God first made, that he made Adam from, as to making him from the dust, that was one thing. Satan entered into that bloodstream, and he lives in the world today in their heart. And he's called the red dragon because he is within that red blood that's in the bloodstream that goes into the heart and throughout the body he controls it with his impulses by means of the five human senses. I say again, as the tree is rooted, so are they, as those human senses rooted into the beggarly elements of this world. And the gravitational forces of evil hold you there, as all is vanity, vanity and vexation of the spirit. The preacher said, as preacher Solomon, he said, all is vanity, all is vexation of my spirit. Though I have riches, though I have fame, though I am a ruler, all is vanity and vexation of my spirit. So then you're rooted in that, and you have the mind of carnality, which is the love and desire of the things of the world. And if the love of the world's in you, the Bible says the love of God isn't there. So then you're taken into captivity at the will of the devil. He just controls you any way that he wants to. But we that have the mind of Christ, we've escaped that. The body is gone. The death is gone. Those five human senses, as to interfere with our salvation, it cannot do it, because we're sealed in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, and those impulses that's transmitted through our human senses toward our spirit, it cannot get through. It cannot get through. There's the wall of resistance called the great Holy Spirit. And we should never grieve him, because he is our protection. He is our fortress. He's the protection of our soul. And we should never grieve him by allowing our five senses to wander around in those things that we know that are corruptible. We should only give ourselves to the necessitated means of life, kill out everything contrary to that, and run everything through the filter as to what God's going to give us, as to his pleasure, as to his way, to utilize this for the glory of God and to use it for his wonderful way. As the Bible said, to honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruit of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine. And he'll not withhold anything good from them that walk upright before him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you'll delight yourself in him, the Bible says he will give you the desires of your heart. All right, so then we see that by this divine blood sale as to the second man Adam, this conception and then a new blood sale had to be made. This by the will of God and not the reproduction of human beings. Not the will of man or the desire of man. Thus comes the blood sale. And in this blood sale, God, the eternal life, the great Holy Spirit, the light. And he projected himself through that one tiny blood cell as to form in the womb. As the prophet said, before I ever formed within my mother's womb, you knew me and called me to be a prophet. And so then, within the womb of a woman, the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And so then, in this blood cell took on form, and it came forth as the beloved Son of God. And today, your life and my life as to the spiritual being was in that blood cell and is in that blood cell as to a new life, as to a new birth, as to a new form, a new way of life. Because my spirit left this body, went back to Christ's spirit who gave it, and become interwoven with Christ's spirit. And in the sight of God, I am now dead, and my natural members buried and gone, and we're not to know each other after the flesh. We have known Jesus after the flesh, but from henceforth we know him nor after the flesh. He was delivered for our offenses. God gave his only son. I know him now as the second man, Adam, as the quickening spirit. And today, my spirit being interwoven within his spirit and his spirit within that blood cell. Now then, that blood cell within me, as Christ within me, the hope of glory, the seed of God that remaineth in me. And now God is coming forth in me. As it was said, Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you, because I, as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, I, as the virgin of life, I conceived of the great, wonderful seed of God, which is his son. And he's bringing forth within me, as the writer said, a man child. So then Christ within you, the hope of glory. And Paul said, I travail till he be formed within you. So we're trying our best to put the mind of Christ within you, that complete mind of Christ may swallow you up. And through that mind of Christ, this light as eternal life may present itself through that blood cell to bring forth a new you. The old one dead, and it's not you living anymore, but it's Christ that's living with you, and your life You now live. You live by the Son of God. You're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And that image coming forth as unto eternal life. Having bore the image of the earth, led to the tabernacle of the body in the wilderness of this human wandering of intellectual wilderness, then we shall also bear the image of the heavenly in that this one will be dissolved. The other is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now alive, hid with Christ in God, tabernacled in the body of bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. So then, what are we? As I said this morning, it isn't God that's trying to get us to grow into this. It's God that is revealing to us from measure to measure and proportion to proportion. He's revealing to us who we are, as to who we've always been, and He's letting us know that we are gods. Gods are something that cannot die. And we cannot die because we pass from death into life. And when you cannot die, that means you are a God, because there's nothing that lives on eternally except gods. That's why Jesus said, ye are gods. But without the knowledge of God, you'll experience death as a man, even as He experienced death as a man, because He did not utilize that knowledge to preserve His life in that He had to give it for you and I. All right, let's stand together. We could say a lot of things tonight. These things, perhaps sometimes we say a little hurriedly because we feel pressed for time. And they go on tape, they go on video. If you want to call these things back, as to run them back through your mind to break them down, then you're welcome to do it. Cannot go over every message, but we do relate a few things from the previous messages that we might build these things together, as I say, like the puzzle, that you may have a clear picture in your mind. If you work with the Lord, He'll bring to your remembrance all these missing pieces. Put them together, because they're in your mind somewhere. He's taught you, we've taught you, and it's there, and all you've got to do is put it together. And you can get it together. You can get it together by the mind of Christ. Even this world, I so often say this, it's mind over matter, as scientists say, and yet it's not Satan's mind. As scientists teach, knowledge falsely so called, but it is the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ that spoke matter into existence, and all form of matter emanated from God and from the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ has complete control and preeminence over it, and as scientists rule over it in this world, changing things into different forms as to your convenience, then in the world to come, by the Spirit of Christ, you can change all forms of matter into your own desire as to what the heavenly way of life will be. As a matter of fact, even in this world, once you're born again, you have the power to say what you will and be done to you. You have the power to control the moon, the sun, even as Joshua did, and the waters, even as Moses did. You have the power to raise the dead, even as it was with the prophets. You have power to do all things. And God has given you all things that pertain unto life. And that's the challenge of faith today, as to what your utilization can be through your surrender and conformity to God. As you surrender your way to God, whatever it might be, you can be great and mighty if you want to. But you're going to have to walk with the Lord, and you're going to have to conform to the ways of God. You're going to have to learn about the Word of God if you're going to have this heavenly treasure in your earthen vessels and develop that faith that is so powerful as to the potentiality within you. All right, let's sing a chorus, Sister Dale. Let's sing that little chorus. We'll enter His gates with thanksgiving. We will enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We will enter God's courts with praise. We will say this is the day the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Can you sing that with me? Going to enter into His gates with with thanksgiving in my heart, going to enter into his courts with praise. And I say this is the day that the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it now. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along with mega fat, just remember in God's word how he's fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Can you sing that with me? No, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Let your trust, don't ever doubt. God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You love the Lord? As we sing this next chorus, the altars are open if you'd like to come. Sing the old for me, of course. There's room at the cross for you. Can we sing together, Del? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room. There is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross,
at the cross,
where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart. Was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. So come in to my heart. Come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. You love the Lord? It's so wonderful. We sing these little choruses over and over. Let's sing this before. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven, daughters, and I'll sail the wild seas. Stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved. Oh, you love the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Oh, come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. For your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. And I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, head bending low, had trouble in my soul, looking for a place it would end. But an old-time preacher came a-calling one day, the good book he read a few words. Now I can say there's nothing in my way. I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to my Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your day will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. And if you'll move over a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road rough and long, but together we can stand. All I know is what you've been going through, down that same old road. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry that load. And if I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead. I can see the mountain top. And when you stand upon the top, you'll be so glad that you tried. For together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other side. So if, can you give him a wave offering? Just a little bit. Lend you the helping
hand. I know the road seems rough and hard, but together
we can stand. And I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. You'll move over just a little bit. Help you carry your load. So we're working the road to glory, working the road to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the roads that lead to heaven up above and make it easy for those that are.
I keep working those roads to glory. Working those roads to glory. Helping the weak and the blind. I'm going to smooth out the roads to heaven up above. I'll make it easy for someone. Can you really do that, folks? We keep working the roads to glory. Working the roads to glory. Helping the weak and the blind. Why not just everybody come down tonight? Let's renew our vows in God. Sing it with me now. So we're working those roads to glory. The roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. Gonna smooth out the roads that lead to heaven up above. I'll make it easy for someone. Wouldn't you like to do that? Come on now. Just working God's roads to glory. Isn't that what you're doing, working God's roads? Don't it thrill your heart to fast and to pray and to know that you're going to cause somebody to be pulled out of the fire, hating the garments that's spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire? Isn't that the way to do it? Having this as your treasures and your reward. So I'm working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I'm going to smooth out the road, helping up above. I'll make it easy. One more time together. I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I'm going to smooth out the road that leads to heaven. Above will make it easy for those that are behind. Let's give him a hand. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Oh, are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Or be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for my bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Sing it with me now. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, every night we're all looking for this light. And we're ready. Sing it with me again, Fanny. I really can tell you're ready. For we're ready now for Jesus to come. Oh, we're ready now for Jesus to come. For be it morning or night, we're all dressed in Father's white, and we're ready now for Jesus to come. Let's give him another hand. As I stand upon the mountains, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Can you sing that with me? All after all. Upon the mountain, all is so cold. Looking over into the city, my Lord said he's preparing, gives me strength that I can make it.
Can you sing it again?
He said, across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Said, across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine. Happy again.
Sing it one more time.
He said, across the bridge, there ain't no sorrow. Said, across the bridge, there's no and the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again.
Can we give him another hand? Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Let's sing another chorus or two, can we?
And he was here all the time.
Can you sing that with me?
My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was was here long time, and he was sing this little chorus. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until its time to die, God has given us this choice to decide best. And he in a million years, where will you be?
Where will you
be? Million years from now, will you be this question, where will give him a hand. Sweeter each day, oh, sweeter each day, his love, it grows sweeter along life's way. Grow sweeter.
honey grow sweeter to you? The Bible said, taste and see if the Lord is good. For my blood is drink and my body is meat. My blood is drink indeed. Unless you drink my blood, unless you eat my flesh, you have no life in you. Everybody ought to know.
Everybody,
you believe in world evangelism?
If you do, sing this with me.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know
who Jesus is. For he is the lily
of
my valley, and he's my rock and morning star. Run, he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell.
Everybody ought to tell.
Everybody ought to tell.
Everybody
ought to
tell
who
Jesus
is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my brother. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. I want to sing this little chorus and finding a place to close. Go on all night worshiping the Lord, singing about the Lord. You know, tonight you've got a chance to come to the Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. Around the world goes the gospel, and hearts open up, and sons of God are born. And the great light begins to show around the world. And to be a son of God, to have his favor. Well, I tell you, when I talk about that, it just does something to me. To have his favor, the favor of the great King, to have his love down deep in my heart and my soul, to love him with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. To love him. How beautiful. Let's sing this song, Time Shall Be No More. Remember, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. And there he lifted his hands to heaven and he said, it is finished. Time was then finished. And then in Revelation 10 and 7, we have it recorded. The angel lifts his hands to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. All of a sudden, the mysteries of God are finished. And the Bible said, the sounding of the last trumpet, the mystery of God should be finished. So then, coming down at the end of the way, the Gentiles' days is finished. Fixing to pass away of the Jews is coming back into view, even as the purchase of the land as we are looking forward to over in the old city, Jerusalem. God leaving the Gentiles, turning back to the Jews. And I have a little article here. I was going to read it. I didn't get to read it, but it's the little article here where Mr. Reagan's was saying that he could see the Battle of Armageddon coming into view now. And he was talking about the end of the world, said, I see those things now. I know that they're coming into view. Our president talking like that, Mr. Bush, talking about the Millennium Peace, he could see it coming. And here we're speaking of the Euphrates River, and they've already diverted the waters, which thing was to take place over in the tribulation period. As to the sixth vial in the 16th chapter of the 12th verse of the book of Revelation, that they might come in with their great armies to surpass or compass Jerusalem compassed about Jerusalem with great armies to bring the desolation that Daniel spoke of, the abomination that would be the end of the world. Jesus said, when you see this, this is the end of the world. Folks, it's here at the door. It's here. So then you've come into the light as to know that you've passed from death into life, that you're not time creatures anymore, but you now have eternal life. And if you have eternal life, how could you be a time creature? For what does time have to do with eternity? How can time count your days as to birth, as to death? It can't do that anymore. See, you've eluded time through the wonderful, wonderful one that held his hand up and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, and saying, it is finished. And Peter said, and ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Let's sing this little chorus, Sister Dale. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Sing it with me now. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. For time, you know the Bible says, the angels shall stand with one foot on the land and one on the sea, raise his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the presence of God. I feel the glory of God. Can you say, and time is gone, and eternity is here, and I'm eternally alive forever. And time, I've escaped death, and death is no more, and the grave hath no more victory. For all things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. I create all things new, the Bible says. And ye are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do you feel that eternal joy? Rejoice forevermore. Do you feel the eternal joy? If you've never made that great commitment as to eternal life, make it. For time shall be no more. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. You need to make that commitment. You need to make that commitment. But shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't be lost. Friend, that's the greatest loss you'll ever have. There's no more starting over. The soul is eternally cut off. No more hope. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time. And we sing it once again together. And time. If you'd like to step out here in front of the altar to make a commitment to God by that, saying, Brother Pike, I'd like to give my heart to God, and I'd like to have eternal life, and I'd like to have your prayers. I'll remember you in my prayers. When I go to prayer at night, I'll remember. If you'd like to step right out here, you're welcome to come down here. Would you do that? Isn't that the right way to do it, folks? Step out for Jesus. And time shall be. Bible said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you in that day. How could you be ashamed of the Lord, the one that gave the blood out of his veins? How could you ever be ashamed of it? Stand on the stream and land and time be. Would you step up here if you want our prayers? You want to be blessed of God? You want to surrender your heart? Would you do that? Would you do that? The end of the world is here. I've proven it to you by the scriptures that it is here. The end of the world is here. And you're the people upon whom sins of the world have come. What do you plan to do? Are you going to take that last chance? I wouldn't take a chance even with my life, let alone with my soul. I don't want to do that. Folks, how can you take a chance with your soul? I don't see how I could do that. I see how a man may take a chance with his life, and even that's not wise. But when he takes a chance with his soul, it's to an eternal loss. I don't understand that. And the Lord says, come. And the bridegroom says, come. And the bride says, come. And he said, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. Let him that hath no money come. And you can come tonight. What a wonderful thought. I want you to lift your hands up with me. Close your eyes. Let's sing this little chord. And I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. And we'll give him glory, oh, for his blood has washed away every stain. Sing it with me. Thy will praise. Praise the Lord for sinners slain, and we'll give him glory, all ye people. Washed away. Can you sing that with me one more time as you lift your hands to heaven, calling on the Lord out of your heart now? I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And we'll give him glory, all ye people, for his blood is washed away every stain. One more time together. I want Brother Chris to come and dismiss us. I'm gonna pray. I will praise him, praise that Lamb for sinners.